Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim Daf Ayin Ches. We are holding on Daf Ayin Zayinim Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the page on Daf Ayin Zayinim Beis. So she responds once again by Dr. David Lander and none of his wife and children. And Lila Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom, Nisham Shav and Aliyah, we thank him very much for continuing to sponsor the Daf Yomi Shir. Today what we're going to discuss is the following. The Mishnah, we're continuing a series of Mishnayos about Tarovos, where carbon gets mixed with other things. So we spoke about a live animal getting mixed with other things. We spoke about Chatichos of an already Shechted carbon getting mixed with other Chatichos. Today we're going to talk about Dam. What happens when the Dam of a carbon mixes with other liquids, whether it be other Dam, whether it be water, whether it be other things. So we're going to have all sorts of different types of liquids that the Mishnah is going to discuss what the halacha is when the dam of a carbon mixes with other liquids. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether we assume the concept of Rishon Batel when it comes to Kachim and when it comes to other mitzvos. Meaning, do we only look at the final product? How much, what's the percentage of, water versus dam or whatever it is that's in the Tarovas, or do we say, no, when a drop falls in, then it becomes batel. So it's done, it's batel. Another drop, batel. So we're not looking at the Tarovas, we're looking at each step along the way. Do we assume Rishon batel? Then Reish Lakish is going to make a statement about eating multiple Isurim simultaneously. The Gemara is going to say that three Chidushim emerge from Reish Lakish's statement, and then the Gemara is going to challenge Reish Lakish which is going to lead us to a distinguishing between the Tarovas of Min B'mino versus the Tarovas of Min B'she'eno Mino. The Gemara is then going to have two rayas that even when there's a Tarovas of Min B'mino of two like kinds, we are rowing as if it's Eno Mino, that we pretend that as if they were not like kinds, and then we try to imagine the effect it would have if there were two not like kinds with one another. Then the Gemara is going to, at the end of the daf, we're going to have a stira, whether Rabbi Yehuda holds of this concept of ro'in, meaning when you have two things that are min b'mino, where there's really no conflict because the two have the same characteristics, so when I'm trying to figure out if there's bittul or if there's not bittul, do I say that ro'in esechen mehem ki'ilu eino mino, that I view one of them as if it's a different min and see what kind of effect it would have had? So we're going to have a stira whether Rabbi Yehuda holds of that concept of ro'in. So again, a lot of the dinim of Tarot emerge from Maseches Zvachim, because you think of Maseches Zvachim, it's Kachim, it's not Nogei Lemaisa. A lot of Hilchas Tarovas relates to the Tarovas of Dam with other things, and that's where we learn many of the halachos of Tarovas that we have in Yoridea. So says the Mishnah, Dam shenasarev b'mayim. Let's say you have blood of a carbon that gets mixed in with water, and you have not yet been zorik that dam on the mizbeach. So im yesh bo maris dam, kosher. If it still looks like dam, then it's going to be kosher. It's a little bit, that's really up to the person. I mean, it's going to look red for a while. The question is, does it still really look like dam? So it's hard to know exactly where that line is, but if the average person would look at that and say, yeah, that's pure dam, then it's going to be kosher. But what if you have blood that's mixed not with mayim, but nesariv biyayin, it's mixed with wine, it's mixed, and wine we assume is red wine, not white wine, then it would be the same as water, but it's mixed with red wine, and therefore the assumption is the tarovas doesn't really change the color. It's always going to look red. So ro'en oso ki'iluhu mayim. Then if you want to know whether that dam is still kosher to be nizrak on the mizbeach, you have to pretend the volume of wine that's in the Tarovas is really water. See what kind of impact it would have on the color of the dam had it been water, and if it would change the color of the dam, then you cannot be Zorik on the Mizbeach. But if it would not change the color of the dam, even had it been water, then you're allowed to be Zorik on the Mizbeach with this Tarovas of dam and yayin. Then the Mishnah says that is Lukulei Alma, apparently. Those two halachos, that if you have dam mixed with mayim, then it all goes by the mara, and if you have dam mixed with yayin, it also goes by the mara, had the yayin been mayim. You have to use your imagination. Had the yayin been mayim, Would it change the mara? But now we're going to have some cases where there's a machlokas. Nisarev bedam behema o bedam achaya. What if the dam carbon gets mixed in with the dam behema, which is just not a carbon? It's chulin. It's a chulin dam. Or with a dam achaya. Dam achaya pashas means a wild beast, which by definition is chulin because you cannot be makriv achaya on the mizbeach. There's another explanation of our Mishnah that the Shita Mukbetzes quotes that dam achaya means a live animal, which also is not. I mean, they do a kozas dam, let's say, some bloodletting on a live animal, or take some dam from a bubu on a live animal. So that's that's also not dam carbon. So bottom line is you have a mixture of dam of a carbon with other dam that's not dam carbon. Rono sokilu umayim. We once again view the dam that's chulin, that's not a carbon, as if it were mayim, and then try to make the assessment. Had this dam been mayim, would it change the color of the dam a carbon? If it would, then the dam a carbon cannot be nizrak on the mizbeach. But if it would not have changed the dam, the color of the dam a carbon, then you're allowed to be zorikit on the mizbeach. So that's the halacha over here. Now Rashi points out, even if the rove is from the dam chulin, from the dam chaya, whatever it may be, Kol Zman, that had that dam chulin bin mayim, it would still look like dam, then it's going to be kosher. That we're not looking at miut rov, it doesn't matter. Even if the rov is from the dam chulin, but if you were able to visualize, had that dam chulin bin mayim, it would not affect the color of the dam of the karban, you could still be zorikit on the mizbeach. Now, in the hemshech of the Mishnah, there's machlokas, Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer, if the dam gets mixed in with dam hapsulum lakra, or the dam gets mixed in with dam atamtis, right? Meaning now we're talking about it just gets mixed in with dam chulin. Not that there's it's dam of kachim that's problematic that you're not allowed to use. It's dam chulin. It's not even nichnas into the parsha. The Mishnah's going to discuss what if the dam gets mixed in with dam that's from a carbon, but it's the kind of dam from a carbon that you're not allowed to be zorek on the mizbech, like dam atamtis. Only the dam anefesh you're allowed to be zorek on the mizbech, or the dam of a carbon that's possible, a roveya, a nirva, all the different psulim. So the Tanakama holds where goes there and you're not allowed to be zorikin on the mizbech, even if it has the maradam, even if you were to visualize had it been water, it would still have the maradam. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says it's going to be kosher. So, however, but it doesn't seem that machlokas carries over to our case, to the case of dam chulin, the mixture of dam carbon with dam chulin. This seems to be l'chol adeos that we're able to be roeno so ki'ilu humayim, and as long as it would not affect the color of the dam, it would be kosher to be zorik on the mizbeach. So Rashi explains why is that? Why is it that the Tanakama is going to be gozer when it's dam tamtsis or dam psulim, but it's not going to be gozer when it's dam chulin? So the Rashi explains on Daf Ayin Tes. Rashi explains because it's not shchiach that dam chulin would ever be in the azara. So they never made gzeros on that way on milsul shchiach lo gozu be'rabanan. Why would you ever have dam chulin in the azara? Dam tamtsis you'll always have in the azara because when you kill an animal and you shecht an animal, there's dam nefesh and there's dam tamtsis. That's what comes out of the animal. The idea that dam psulim, invariably there are going to be different psulim that come up in the kachim. That you'll find in the azara, but you're never going to find dam chul in the azara, and therefore there's no gezera. Now, there is a machlokas, what exactly the gezera is when it comes to a mixture of dam karban with dam atamtsis, or dam karban with dam psulim. Rashi writes that they made a gezera so that you don't come to be matir even in a case where the dam psulim is mevatel the dam karban. So Rashi's pretty straightforward. That was the gezera. We don't make such a gezera when it comes to dam chulin. However, Tos says no. The gezera is that you might come to be matir to be zorek the dam without a taroves. You'll be zorek the dam tamtis alone, even when it's not mixed. So we don't allow any mixture of dam karban and dam tamtis, because if we allow you to be zorek any mixture of dam karban and dam tamtis, you might might come to be Zorin, just the Dam Tamsis. Well, according to Tosos, that's hard to understand. Why didn't they make that same Gzeira when it's a mixture of Dam Chulin and Dam Akarban? So you have to say, Tosos writes, that who's going to make that mistake? Who's going to think that you're allowed to be Zorek Dam Chulin alone on the Mizbech? So there's no need for such a Gzeira. It's not Misl Shchich L'Gazorera. There's just no need for such a Gzeira, regardless of the Shchich or not. No one's foolish enough to make the mistake to think that you could throw Dam Chulin alone on the Mizbech. They didn't need to make a Gzeira to that. But Dam Tamsis or Dam Apsulim, one might have thought that since it is Kachim, that you're allowed to be Zorek on the Mizbech. And that's why the Tanakama makes a Gzeira, lest you come to do that. Okay, so far we have three cases in the Mishnah. We had Dam that gets mixed with Mayim. We say, we look at the color of it. Does it look like Dam? Then we had Dam that gets mixed with Yayin. Once again, we pretend the Yayin were water, and then we look at what the color would be. And third case is Dam that gets mixed with other dam, but the other dam is Dam Chulin. And once again, we pretend as if that Dam Chulin were Mayim, and what would that color be? But in this third case, it's a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein dam mevatel dam. It's one thing when dam is mixing with water or with wine. So then you could say that that it could become batel. But when it comes to dam mixed with dam, there's never any bittel. They're both. It's what we call min bimino. Min bimino is eno batel. And therefore, if dam a carbon gets mixed in with dam chulin or dam chaya, you could still be zorek no matter what the percentages are. As long as there's dam carbon in that mixture, throw it on the mizbeach. Because I don't care that there's a lot of other dam, you're never mevatel the dam korban shabal. The dam korban is always there. This is Rabbi Yehuda's famous shita of min bimino eno batel. This din, Rabbi Yehuda learns from a pasuk that it says by avodas yom kippurim. The pasuk says v'lokach midam aparum midam asair v'nasal karnas hamizbeach saviv, that you take the combination of the dam hapar and the dam asair and you put it on the mizbeach. So you need a mixture of the dam hapar and the dam asayir. Well, wait a second. A par has way, way more dam than a sayir. It's a much, much bigger animal. And nevertheless, the pasuk says, yeah, but we still call this dam apar and dam asayir. We don't say that the dam apar has overwhelmed the dam asayir and it's been mevatelit and the dam asayir is not here anymore. No, because it's a min bimino. It's dam and dam. The dam asayir always exists. It's always still there. This is the basis for the concept of min bimino eino batel. Now, the Ran famously explains in Masa Nadarim, that Rabbi Yehuda, the concept of min bimino eino batel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that the concept of bittel is that you have two things that clash with one another, so one overwhelms the other. But when you have when there's no clash between the two items, when they're the same thing, they have the same characteristics, you can't say that one overwhelms the other, because if they have all the same characteristics, they each just enhance one another. You have a little bit of milk that falls into chicken soup. A drop of milk, the chicken soup is so voluminous that it overwhelms the milk, and the milk is not even detectable. A little bit of treif chicken soup goes into chicken soup. It's not overwhelmed. It's all the same thing. It all enhances one another. That's the concept of min bimino eino batel. And the Ran says, the Chachamim agree to that in principle. They just think that you don't look at the world through the metzius. You put on your halacha glasses. You have to look at the world through halacha. And as long as the two items, one is iser, one is heter, that is a conflict. Even if one is dam karban, one is dam chulin, that is a conflict, even though in the physical world, they're both the same item, but in the metaphysical world, they're different items, because one is iser, one is heter, one is kodesh, one is chol. So therefore, there is a conflict, and one is able to overwhelm the other. That's the famous Ran, where the Ran says, but what if even in the spiritual halachic world, they're kind of the same, then even the Chacham would agree, min bimino zeno batel. And that's how the Ran explains the concept of dover sheyesh lo matirin does not become batel. That if you have something that's iser, but it will one day become mutter, it's not going to become batel even in 1,000 times of heter. Because there's not even really a halachic conflict. Because even the iser itself is kind of mutter. You just need to wait a little bit. So it has inherent characteristics of heter. So that's the principle of dover sheyesh lo matirin eino batel. But anyway, this is the famous sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that min bimino is eino batel. And apparently, Rabbi Yehuda thinks, he agreed to the first two halachas of the Mishnah, that when you have a mixture of dam and mayim, okay, because that's min b'sheinu mino, and when you have a mixture of dam and yayin, so the chiddush is that he views that as min b'she'eno mino as well, because dam and yayin are not the same thing, even though they have the same color, and l'choro, all we care about over here is the color, when no one's eating it, right? So it's all about l'choro, it's all about the color, but it's still, those are two different things, they're not precisely the same as one another. Okay, so now a fourth case. Nisariv b'dam sulin. What if your dam carbon gets mixed in with the dam of a pasul of carbon? A roveya, a nirva, a carbon that became pigul or pasul with machshav al chutzus mano, chutzum mekomo. So now, what do you do with all this? With all this dam? So even if the majority of this taroves is dam kosher, says the Tanakama, yishafech la'ama. You pour it into the amas hamayim that they had in the azara. That even though min haTorah the dam really didn't become pasul, they made a gzeira midrabanan that you're not allowed to be zorik such dam on the mizbeach. Why? This is what we spoke about before. Because then you might come to be zorik on the mizbeach even when the dam apostle is the rov and is actually mevatel the dam kasher. So therefore, when you have dam apostle mixed with dam kasher, you're not allowed to be zorik on the mizbeach. But what if bedam atamtzis? What if you have dam kasher mixed with dam atamtzis? Meaning you have the dam nefesh that's mixed with dam atamtzis. Dam atamtzis, zrikas adam is only kasher with the dam nefesh. It's the dam that the animal's nefesh leaves its body, and not the dam atamtzis that comes out afterwards. We darshan this from the pasuk. The Gemara had said from v'lokach hakoyin haMashiach midam hapar. So we darshan midam hapar v'lo midam hatamtzis, where the pasuk says ki adam hu ba nefesh yichap. So we darshan dam sha nefesh yotzebo is actually called dam as far as kapara is concerned, but dam she'ena nefesh yotzebo is not called dam as far as kapara is concerned. So if you have a mixture of the dam that can achieve kapara with the dam atamtzis which cannot achieve kapara, once again Tanakama says yishafech la'ama, just spill it out into the ama, because even though min haTorah it may be kosher, they made a gezera that we passel it lest you come to be zorik the dam atamtzis all alone, which you're certainly not allowed to do. Now, l'chora, and Rabbi Eliezer, machshir, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you could still use this tarovis of dam hanefesh and dam hatamtzis, provided that you do the same visualization. You visualize, what if this dam hatamtzis were water? Would it change the color? So if yes, then okay, then it's possible, then you're not allowed to use it. But if it would not change the color, had this dam hatamtzis been water, the dam would still appear like dam, the dam carbon would still appear like dam, so then you are able to be zarkar on the mizbeach. I mean, Rabbi Lezer says it's just like a taroves of dam with yayin, and just like a taroves of dam with mayin, so the taroves of and just like a taroves of dam with dam chulin, yeah, the dam with the dam tamtzis is the same, is the same thing. Now, l'chora, the Mishnah could have said much more straightforward, right? It could have said the last two halachas together, nisariv b'dam apsulim o b'dam tamtzis. Yishafech la'amma. Right, it could have said that if Nesariv bedam apsulin or with dam atamtzis, Tanakama holds yishafech la'amma and Rabbi Eliezer machshir. Meaning, if Rabbi Eliezer is in fact arguing on both of those cases, it really should have put them together. The Gemara is going to have in tomorrow's daf a machlokas whether in fact Rabbi Eliezer is arguing on both of those cases or only one of them. Is he arguing both on the case of dam psulin and the case of dam atamtzis, or only arguing on the case of dam atamtzis? If he's only arguing on the case of dam atamtzis, you see why the Mishnah split it. If he's arguing on both cases, it's a little bit of a tzarech iyun why the Mishnah would have split it. So then the Mishnah just adds one more detail over here, that even if you're not allowed to be zorik this dam on the mizbeach because of some sort of gzeira that the Tanakhama is making, im lo nimlach v'nasan kosher. If the guy didn't ask a shayla and he went and he was zorik on the mizbeach, the carbon is going to be kosher because min haTorah the carbon is really kosher. So essentially there are three parts to our Mishnah. Part number one is the part that everybody agrees to, which is the first two cases in the Mishnah. You have dam carbon mixed with mayim or mixed with yayin. So everyone agrees that it all depends whether it changes the color or would change the color had the pasul stuff been water. Case number two is dam behema that's mixed with dam kachim that's mixed with dam chulin. That's a machlokas where the Tanakhama says, once again, use the visualization as if it were water, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says his famous shita of min bemino eino batal. And then part number three is, even if you're not going to assume like Rabbi Yehuda, min bemino eino batal, if it gets mixed with the dam carbon gets mixed with either dam apsulin or dam tzamtzis, so the Tanakhama is going to say that we make a gzeira that you might come to be zorek just the dam apsulin or just the dam tzamtzis, so you can't be zorek at all, regardless of the percentages of the tairoves. Whereas Rabbi Lezer says, no, still use that percentage that we said before of visualization. Visualize. If it were water, would it affect the color of the dam? So those are the three basic parts of the Mishnah. So now, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo shanu el shnafu mayim l'toch dam. When we said in our Mishnah that if dam gets mixed with mayim, you have to see, does it affect the color of the dam or not? That's only if mayim fell into the dam. That each drop of water that falls into the dam is technically batel, and therefore the dam is still going to be valid as long as it looks like dam. So you could still use that dam to be zorek on the deck, so as long as it looks like dam. Aval nafal dam l'toch mayim. But what if it were the reverse? What if it were the blood that were falling into the water, and enough blood fell into the water that the blood still looks like blood? It's all going to be possible. Rishon batel. We assume that each drop of blood that fell into the water became batel. First drop falls in, it's batel. There's no dam there. Second drop falls in, batel. So even though at the end enough drops fell in that the whole thing still looks like dam, but it's too late. Each drop had already become batel. And once it's batel, it's over. You're not allowed to use it anymore. There is a machlokas rishonim. Tosfos alludes to an ayin zayin and beis. Does that mean if it fell in drop by drop? Or even if you poured it in, we view it as if one drop, then the next drop, then the next drop. So that's a machlokas rishonim. But that's the concept of rishon batel. Now, the Gemara is going to try to apply this concept elsewhere in halacha. By another halacha that relates to dam, there's a mitzvah called kisui adam, where the pasuk tells us, ish ish mi b'nei sol min ager gor b'socham, asher yotzu tzein chaya o of, asher ye'achel. If you have a chaya or an of that you want to eat, v'shafach es damo, and you shecht it, v'chiso ba'afar. You have a mitzvah of kisui adam when you shecht a chayo or an oaf, and there's dam there. So what happens when that dam gets mixed with mayim? Do you still do the mitzvah of kisui adam? So Amar Rav Papa l'inyan kisui, when it comes to kisui adam, so ain okay. The halacha is that dam that gets mixed with mayim, if it still looks like dam, you're chayiv in kisui adam. But we don't make this chilik whether it was mayim that fell into dam or dam that fell into mayim. It's irrelevant. If the end product looks like dam, you do kisui adam. I don't care what fell into what. Why? Lefi she'ein dichoy b'mitzvos. Because what are you going to say? A little dam fell into the water, it became batel, it's not there anymore. Then a little more dam, and it became batel. So even though at the end of the day, it now looks like dam, you want to tell me, I'm not going to do the mitzvah of kisui because this dam has already been rejected from the mitzvah of kisui when it became batel? Ein dichoy b'mitzvos. There's no concept of permanent rejection when it comes to mitzvos. Something becomes pasul for a mitzvah, it can always become kosher again. You can bring it back. So whereas when it comes to dam kachim, we're going to say, legabim mizbeach, once it became possible to be zorik on the mizbeach, you can't bring it back. There's dichoy when it comes to kachim, but when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to just a fulfillment of a mitzvah, like kisei adam, just because something became possible for use as a mitzvah, it can regain its kashrus status. Now that happens to be a major machlokas in Masechah Sukkah. The Gemara is not sure, Sukkah Daflam Gimel, whether Rav Papa's statement of Ein Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos is only a Chumrah but not a Kula, or would he even say such a thing Lekula? Would he even say such a thing if it meant a Kula? Meaning over here it means a Chumrah, so you still got to do Kisui Adam. You can't not do Kisui Adam, so it's only a Chumrah, but that's a discussion in Masechah Sukkah. Fine, so that is part one of the Gemara. Now the Gemara quotes a statement of Reish Lakish, which on the surface has nothing to do with us. but it's going to come back to relate to our Mishnah. Some Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish tells us the following halacha. Hapigul ha-noser v'atameh. If you have three different Isurim, pigul, noser, and tameh, shebelolon zeba zeva achalon. So the way the Rishonim understand over here is that two of these three you take, and you eat a kazayas of each of them. It doesn't matter which two, but a kazayas of each of these, of two of these three Isurim, and you put them both in your mouth at the same time, and you chew on them at the same time, so pater. You're not going to be chayv malchus for eating a kazayas of these yisurim. Because e'ef shoshalo yirba min al chaver v'yivatlenu. Because at any part of, if you were to take a peek inside the person's mouth, as gross as might sound, as he's chewing, let's say, pigul and nosar, right? So, and you were to take a sample size of that, of some piece of chewed food that's in his mouth, one of them is going to, the volume of one is going to be more than the volume of the other. So at each section, one is overwhelming the other. We don't look at the whole tarovas, we look at each little piece. At each section, one is going to be overwhelming the other. And it's going to be mispatel. So because you clearly you don't have, it's not evenly distributed, the pigle and the nose or whatever. So it's going to turn out that that at some point, one of them is more than a kazayas and one of them is less than the kazayas. So when you're going to give, the way Rashi understands, when you're going to give the fellow hasra'a that you better not eat this because you're going to be violating an isra of eating a kazayas of, right, of whatever it is, you don't know if he's violating an isra of eating a kazayas of what you just warned him about, or if he's violating an isra of eating a kazayas of the other thing that you didn't warn him about. And therefore it's hasra safek, and with hasra safek, you're not chayiv malchus. Hasra safek is lo shma hasra'a. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos has lots and lots of problems with Rashi's explanation of the Gemara over here, but okay, that's what we'll stick with for our purpose. But Shema Minatlas, from Reish Lakish's unusual statement, we see three things that he's assuming. Shema Mina Isurim Mivatn Zeze. First thing you see is, even though both items that he put in his mouth are Isser, one could be Mivatl the other. Right? The assumption that one is more, that the volume of one is greater than the volume of the other in any given section of what he's chewing on, that assumes that would generate a sense of bittel, that one will be Mivatl the other one, Berov. That's one. Shema Mina, the other thing we see is Nosin Tam Berov Lav Doraisa, that when you have a Tarovis of two things where you can detect the taste of the minority of that which is less voluminous, we still say that it's batel. So apparently, the fact that it's no Saint Tam is irrelevant on a Doraisa level. Meaning, when it comes to whether he's chayv malchus or not, we're dealing with din Doraisa. Is it an iser tam ke iker that he's look? He has pigle and he has nosar. He definitely tastes both the pigle and the nosar, and that taste of both the pigle and the nosar is laced throughout the entire tarovas that's in his mouth. So tam ki ikar would tell me he's for sure violating both pigle and nosar. But to be mechayv malchus, it needs to be a doraisa that he's having a kazayas of each. Well, apparently, tam ki ikar is not doraisa. It's not minatora. If the isra of nosin tam berov, asking the tarovas, the entire tarovas would be minatora, the fact that the pigle and the nosar are mevatel each other, it would be irrelevant because they're each for sure giving tam to one another. And even if you don't have a sheer kazayas of one of them, but it's no Saint Tam, so the you should still be chayv malchus. So apparently Reish Lakish is telling us that that idea that no Saint Tam is going to be treated as if you have the as if you're eating the ikar item itself is lav da'oraisa ushma mina. And the third thing that Reish Lakish seems to be assuming is hasra safek lo shma hasra'a, that the reason you can't give this guy malchus is because there's a lack of hasra'a, and hasra'a safek is not a valid hasra'a. Hasra'a safek means that when I give the guy hasra'a, you better not do this, because if you do, you're going to be chayiv this onesh. Then the situation is such where even if he does it, I'm still not sure he's going to be chayiv that onesh. So I'm telling you, you better not eat this combo, because you may be chayiv the onesh for pigle. I don't know. He may be chayiv the onesh for noser, not for pigle. So that's hasra'a safek. The Gemara in Makos, Masech Shavuos, says machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether Asra Safik is Shema Asra or not. So the Mara Cohen, one of the commentators on the Gemara over here, points out, Shema Mina, from this, that Reish Lakish holds Asra Safik is Lo Shema Asra. It's Beferish. Reish Lakish says Beferish in Mesechus Makos, Hasra Safik is Lo Shema Hasra. So to say, Shema Mina, oh, we're able to deduce. He says it Beferish all over Shas. He says it in Makos, he says it in a couple of places in Mesechus Shavuos. So that's a little bit difficult why that needs to be a Shema Mina. But either way, we're going to pick on the second of the three Shema Minas we made from Reish Lakish. That Reish Lakish had said that Nosin Tamberov is not Midor Raisa. So there's a din of Hafrash Eschala. The din of Hafrash Eschala is that whenever you make a dough out of the Chameshes Mine Dagan, and only out of the Chameshes Mine Dagan, do you need to be Mafresh Chala. The very same Chameshes Mine Dagan that can generate Chametz, the very same Chameshes Mine Dagan from which you can make Matzah out of, you're only Chayev Hafrash Eschala from Chameshes Mine Dagan. So Masav Rava, Rava says, you know, there is a Mishnah in the third parak of Challah. Asi Isa Min Chitin Umin Orez. Let's say you make a dough out of a combination of wheat and rice. Im Yesh Batam Dagan. So if that combination tastes like Dagan, it tastes like grain, tastes like wheat, Chayev is B'Challah, then you're Chayev in Challah, because the Chi of Challah is on wheat, and as long as it tastes like wheat, Tam Ke Ikr, we view the whole dough as if it's wheat. Va'afel Gavdu Ruba Orez. So even though l'chora, this means to tell me, even though the majority is orez, so don't you see that the tam ki'ikr and against Reish Lakish, the tam ki'ikr is even d'oraisa, that we look at the tam of it and therefore we view the whole dough as if it's a grain and not a rice bread. Sans Gemara midrabanan. Over there we're just saying that it's chayv and chala midrabanan. You're not chayv and chala midoraisa. Frak the Gemara ihachi. If we're talking about midrabanan, Sefer, go read the Sefer of the Mishnah, where the Sefer says that if you have a dough made out of wheat and rice together and it tastes like grain, Adam Yotzi Ba'idei Chavas on Pesach, you could be Yotzi in the midst of matzah with it. There's no way we would tell you to be Yotzi in the midst of matzah with something that would only have the status of matzah midrabanan. Right? Obviously, it has to have the status of matzah midaraisa. So Ella must be min b'she'ino mino b'taima, min b'mino b'ruba. It must be to reconcile this. Why is it that Reish Lakish assumed that previously, when it came to the pigle in the noser that a person is chewing in his mouth, at the same time, he assumed that Tam Kikr is Lavda Raisa, and yet when it came to the Orez and the Chitin that you make a dough out of, he assumed that it all goes bust for the Tam, and that is Da Raisa. Is it because, if it depends on what type of Tarovis it is, if there are two unlike kinds, like Chitim and Orez, then on a Da Raisa level, you look at the Tam, and the Tam is what carries the day, and therefore, if it tastes like wheat bread, it's wheat bread, and if you make a matzah out of it, it's matzah, and that's even on a daraisa level. But min bimino, if you have two things that are the same thing, they're both meat. One of them happens to be pigle, the other one happens to be nosar. But they're both meat, so they taste exactly the same. So you can't differentiate the taste of one from the other. So beruba. Then we follow the rove, that you look at the rove, and that's why Reish Lakish said, you don't know what's going on inside of his mouth, where the rove is one, where the rove is the other, and may all things asra suffik. So ask the Gemara, well, wait a second. Once you tell me min b'sheino mino, where you are able to determine the tam, because they taste different from one another, we say go baser the tam. How come when it comes to min b'mino, we just automatically revert to rove? The whole yisod of our Mishnah was that even when you can't really detect the differences, pretend that you can, right? We had a discussion. You have dam carbon mixed with mayim. Oh, so I can see. Did it impact it? Did it not impact the color? But then we said dam carbon mixed with yayin. Pretend the yayin is really mayim and see what kind of impact it would have had. Why don't we say the same thing over here? I have pigle mixed with noser. They're both basar. Why don't I just say, why am I going with rove? Just say, pretend. Pretend that the noser were not basar, that it was something else. And would that impact the taste? Would it not impact the taste? And go with that. Go with tam again. Why do I just go with rove? V'nishar min b'mino, kim min b'sheino mino. Why don't I just use that visualization and pretend? you know, say Rowan, I pretend the min b'mino is as if it were min b'sheino mino, and see if it would impact the tam or not. So after all, the Tanan, we do it in two places. We say this concept of Rowan. Number one, nesariv b'yayin, in our Mishnah, where you had dam carbon mixed with yayin, with red wine. We don't just say, oh, rov, whatever's it. No, we said Rowan osukilu umayim. Pretend that red wine were water, would it impact the color of this dam? So my love, Rowan osuliyayim kilu umayim. Doesn't that mean that you pretend that it's water and see if it would impact the color of the dam? So here also we should say Rowan. So says Marlo, that you misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah does not mean to say you view the wine as if it were water. Rowan osulidam kilu umayim. It means the dam is automatically treated like mayim, meaning that it's pasul lizrika, because mayim is pasul lizrika. Because when it gets mixed with yayin, you can't tell the difference between dam and yayin, and therefore it's batel brov, like min b'mino is batel brov, and there is no rowin. So we totally misunderstood our whole Mishnah. Everything I said before in reading the Mishnah was all wrong. When we said that rowin osukilu umayim, that's just a fancy way of saying that it's really batel brov. Says Gemara, ihachi batel mibayle. Come on, that's not what it said. The Mishnah would have said batel if it meant batel. The Mishnah said rowin. So apparently we do apply this concept of rowin. And in another case, we apply the concept of rowin. Va'otanya. We have another brisa where it talks about a kli that's tame that has white wine or milk in the kli, and then you stick the kli in a mikveh where the water enters into the kli. So the mikveh water enters into the kli. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, rowin osukilu yayin adam. You view that white wine or that milk as if it were red wine, and then see what would the impact of the mikveh waters be on it to see if it's a kosher or tevila. Im diamareu kosher. If had that the contents of that kli not been white but been red wine, but if the mikveh waters would have overwhelmed it and changed its color, then it's a kosher or tevila because it's as if the kli was full of mikveh water. V'imlav pasul. But if it would not have changed it, then it's going to be pasul. So again, once again, we see that we apply the principle of rowin. So how come over here we're not going to apply the principle of rowin? How come when you have the piggle and the nose are in your mouth, Reish Lakish just says, follow the rove? Why don't we say rowin the piggle as if it weren't meat, or the nose as if it weren't meat? Would it have the impact? Says Mara Tanayihi. There's a machlokas Tanayim, whether we apply this principle of rowim or not, whether we use our visualization, our imagination of, if this were a real minbisha'eno mino, would it have that impact? Would it not have that impact? So machlokas, whether we do that. Where do we see such a machlokas? Titania. We have a Bryce as follows. Let's say you have a bucket that has white wine or milk in it, vidbilo, and you dip it in the mikveh. So we follow the rov, and if the water that enters at the time of the tevila into the kli is greater in volume than the wine or the milk that's in the kli, then the wine or the milk is as if it doesn't exist. The tevila is a valid tevila. The kli is going to be tahar. But if the yayin or the chalav that's in the kli is the majority, and it's more than the water inside of the kli, then the water is not mevatalit, and therefore the kli has not really been placed in the mikveh, and therefore the kli is going to remain tame. That's the Tanakama. So we do not apply rowin. We just go with a simple rove. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, rowin osakilu yayin adom im diamareu kashuv im lav pasul. And Rabbi Yehuda says, we apply rowin. Let's pretend whatever was in this kli was red wine. And had it been red wine, would it have changed color from the mikveh waters? If it would have changed color from the mikveh waters, then it's all mikveh water and the kli is tahar. But had it been red wine, if it would not have changed color from the mikveh waters, then it's still wine and the kli did not go through a tahara b'mikveh. Now, in general, if there's actually wine in there. Wine is supposed to mix with water. You're supposed to have a meziga of two-thirds wine or three-quarters wine and one-third or one-quarter, two-thirds or three-quarters water and one-third or one-quarter wine. That's the din of meziga sayayin. But the Tosfos points out we must be assuming that this is already yayin mazug. We're not talking about where the mikveh water is being mosaic this wine. But bottom line is, what we see from here is that there's a machlokas tanoim, whether we apply this principle of rowin. So the whole principle that our Mishnah was built on of rowin is actually machlokas tanaim. And apparently, when Reish Lakish said his din of chewing the different types of isurim, Reish Lakish did not apply the principle of rowin. So ask the Gemara. But wait, well, you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do apply this principle of rowin? But I'll tell you that there's a stira or a mini. I'll ask you a stira. Zlishu male rukin vit bilu ki lo taval. If let's say you have a dli full of a phlegm and you tovel it in the mikveh, so it's as if it was not toveled because the phlegm is such a thick substance it doesn't blend with the water and it's a chatzitza. Meiraglayim ronos akilu ein mayim. But if the kli was full of meiraglayim, so then when it mixes with the mikveh water, we view it as if it's mayim and it all mixes together with the mikveh water and therefore it's going to be tahar. Mali mechatas, if the dli was full of mechatas, the paraduma waters, then you look at the majority, where when you have more mayim than mechatas, then it's going to be mevatel the mechatas. The mechatas is not going to be chatzitza in the tvila. So man chamet isle rowin, Rabbi Yehuda v'katani desagi leberuba. Now Rabbi Yehuda is the one that generally applies the principle of rowin, and yet we see over here that he applies that it's enough to be batel berov, and that we don't say rowin as if the yayin were red to be machmir, that it's not going to be batel until the mayim until you have more mayim to be mevatel the mara hayayin. So it's a steer in Rabbi Yehuda, because when it came to the tarov zamin b'mino, when you have two things that look the same, Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, do rowin as if one of them was eno mino, and it's not going to be batel berov. But over here, Rabbi Yehuda does not apply rowin. He just simply says that we apply bittel berov. So this is the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Abaye lo kasha hadidei hadarabei, that the Mishnah says mechatas is batel berov. That's his own chita, where we don't say rowim. But when he did apply the principle of rowim, that was what he was quoting from Rami Gamliel, his Rebbe. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with that discussion of what Rami Gamliel's real opinion was when it comes to this principle of rowim. Have a great day, everybody.